the Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Steve Burton is out at the Young and the Restless, and Trump's sexist hot mic comments ensnare Arianne Zucker in the presidential election. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
How do?
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What it do?
Mike Jubenville, welcome.
Hello.
As always, my name is Luke Kerr, and we are going to discuss Steve Burton leaving The Young and the Restless. Jillian, you put it on the blog after Burton tweeted out the news that he had made the decision to leave The Young and the Restless. Did the heavens open, angels sing hallelujah when you saw it?
The doves just said, go get it, girl. When I was on Twitter, minding my business, and it came across my timeline really fast. And I'm like, what did I just see? And I just went to his Twitter profile and I was like, what? So like, you know, I hurry up and start like reading it and start the blogging it. So I said, let me call Jamie. So it was literally a soap opera. I start shaking and shit. I call him. I'm like, pick up, pick up, pick up. And then he comes on the phone. Hey, how's it going? I'm like, Jamie. And he's like, so I'm trying to tell him. He's like, well, before you get to talking, how's your family? I'm like, oh, fuck them, they all right. You know, because, you know, people know my family is from the islands and Hurricane Matthew passed and they all right, kids. They are all right. If you saw my updates, my mother's only concerned about those damn trees in her yard. Give me a break. So I'm like, Jamie's like, so I'm like, Steve Burton laugh. And he's like, where are you reading this from? I'm like, he just tweeted it out. And we are just like dissected. Jamie's like, oh my God, I got to make some phone calls. And we are just like screaming at the top of our lungs. Well, at least I was. I don't know how you were at Starbucks, but we're just like, we gotta make some calls, we gotta find out. I am just, you know, listen.
Oh, I have to be careful now, because one day I was up there and somebody was like, are you Jamie from Daytime Confidential? And I was all scrubbed out in some
I'd have been like, you a processor.
And a t-shirt with a coffee stain on it. And I'm like, who you? And I was like, damn, usually people don't do that unless I'm in LA or New York. And so I was like, no, if you're listening, I was not like, damn, but I was like, oh, I wish I would have dressed better if somebody was going to recognize me.
Yeah, I'm quick because, you know, people are like, oh, I know you from your voice. I'm quick to, are you Jillian Bo? I'm quick to, you a processor? Because by law, you got to tell me before you do something. So
okay, I don't know that I want to know the details of that.
This is nothing against Steve Burton. Steve Burton just was not a good fit at that show as Dylan McAvoy, because they just kept trying to reboot the character when he was not well received. He just should have come on as someone that we already know. That Luckinbill is becoming Mr. Hollywood. They should have. He ain't coming back to Y&R. No shade, but whatever. Really is shade, but he ain't coming back. He should have been JT Hellstrom. That would have been a better storyline. Him being this war veteran who Avery hunched, who now is Nikki's child with Ian Ward. Oops, I mean with Paul. Like, come on now. That was just, they just kept trying to fit him to the show. When you kept trying to reboot the character several times over, Jill should have just said, okay, Steve, I love you like a play cousin, but I'm going to give you, you know, we can't do this anymore. It's my bad, not yours, but you're just not gelling with the show. And let him go. So, deuce, Steve.
Jamie, what are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are, and this is not really intel, although I do know that, you know, people in the decision-making realms at that show were aware that, you know, they weren't getting their bang for their buck in terms of, you know, what they pay Steve and what he was bringing to the table. And his BFF is no longer the boss of the show, there to justify his star power and importance, and there's a new regime coming in. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a, we'll let you say it's your decision, but
a star-told moment.
You know the old saying, you know, when your mama was tired of your company and she would tell them, you ain't got to go home,
but you gotta
got
get
to get out of here. There you go. So I am very pleasantly surprised that so many in a row positive decisions are happening at the Young and the Restless. It's like, wow, I'm almost like, is this really happening? Do we really have Bill Bell Ryder's back? Do we really have a competent, you know, not recycled executive producer from the UK where soaps are still hot? You know, are we really getting rid of expensive dead weight? I mean, is this really happening? And no shade against Steve Burton, because he was a megastar on General Hospital. But these shows, these remaining shows have got to get over this belief that just because someone was a megastar on one show, they're going to be a megastar on another show. It rarely works. The Young and the Restless has been the most grotesque example of it not working in recent memory. Maybe the last season of Santa Barbara was a worst example, because they had every star from every show known to man, and it still went off the air. I'm still mad about that. But, you know, I mean, Y&R, since we've been doing this podcast, Y&R has tried to be about Jeannie Francis, Tristan Rogers, Debbie Morgan, Darnell Williams, Michael E. Knight, Steve Burton, all these people, when it's supposed to be about Victor Newman, Jack Abbott, Nicky Newman, Lauren Fenmore, Michael Baldwin, Jill Abbott. We would not have lost Jess Walton to the mountains of wherever she is up yonder ways. If they had been writing, I have been told that by numerous people.
She said it in the interview too.
You know, but you know, but they try to spin that like, well, we can't really write for her. They can't write for her.
She said it in an interview with Logan. She said they didn't do nothing.
But that's the thing. Had, you know, she made that decision to be like, look, I'm going to just semi-retire, because she kept getting screwed over story-wise. And hopefully we're now, you know, no need to go too back into the weeds with it. Hopefully this is the sign, you know, some more people need to go. Some more people that are not tied to the core canvas of this show need to be shown the dough. And they, you know, there are so many guys out there. I'm gonna be real. They can let Stitch go. Stitch and Abby's marriage can bite the dust, because I would rather see Abby involved with Scotty Granger or Brooks Prentice, or, you know, I would rather see Noah involved with
who's Noah
with you know, Julie Newman's kid, Jamie. You know, I definitely love that character's name. But, you know,
yeah, I wonder
all these
why.
Core characters out there. You know, Snapper and Chris had a kid. What's the baby name? She named after her big mama. Jennifer.
Turtle.
You know, they got Jennifer Foster out there. You know, they got all these core characters. And I do know that they are bringing back some core characters already that was in the works before. In fact, I was told recently they put it on pause when they found out that they were able to get Sally back, because they didn't want Chuck to they didn't want Chuck to introduce any core characters from the past. So they put it on pause so that they could actually have some, you know, writers
That's
that
funny.
Know what they're doing.
Chuck is like, I want Brooke Prentice back. And they were like, no.
Well, it ain't Brooke Prentice.
No,
buddy.
I'm just using that as an example. He's probably like, hey, let's bring that Jennifer girl back now.
The stuff that Chuck is putting out in his, you know, that we're seeing that was his last
hurrah.
It just goes to show white privilege still works in Hollywood. Everybody's all bemoaning, you know, Deadline did that whole, it's hard out here for white people because Empire is so popular. No, Chuck Pratt is living proof. It ain't hard here for, you know, Chuck Pratt is 60-something years old and completely burned out creatively, yet he gets a Lee Daniels show, which that is to the benefit of the Young and the Restless, so rah, rah, rah. But I ain't gonna lie, it makes me side eye, because if Lee Daniels or anybody involved with star tuned in to The Young and the Restless and saw the riveting saga of a multimillionaire cosmetics mogul who punishes his wife by making her the copy girl, Chuck Pratt wouldn't be hired to produce a puppet show in Poughkeepsie. But on a positive note, Lionheart seems to be doing the right thing. You know, Steve can go to Nashville. I know that he and
Jonathan Jackson
have opened up a new smokehouse, and you know
they opened up another one.
No, it's the same one. It's just they just had their grand opening, and you know Steve can start producing wholesome Hallmark movies, or maybe he'll get a spot on Nashville. I think he should be the love interest for Chris McCormick's character. You know, they got that gay character.
Girl, bye, stop it.
He won't take his shirt off. He doesn't like taking his shirt off on TV. You think he's going to play a gay character? Well, in fairness...
Mix it up,
in fairness to Burton, here's what his statement. He tweeted, "Hey, everyone, with lots of reflection, I've decided to move on from Y&R at the end of my contract in December. I've had an amazing time, but it feels the right to move on, or it feels right to move on to new adventures in my life. I can't say enough about the awesome cast and crew. Much respect, much love for CBS Daytime. Great peeps." Mike, when I read the news, I was like, "How am I this lucky? Sabrina is gone, and Dylan is gone." What are your thoughts?
I think you better polish up that list, because
I know I need to compile some more lists. There will be a lot of people on General Hospital, considering it's almost unrecognizable. But that's beside the point. What are your thoughts on Burton leaving?
I take it as a positive. I mean, Dylan has never really been the most popular character on the show. I don't think it has anything to do with Steve Burton personally. He was very popular on General Hospital, and I just think that Y&R has had an identity crisis for so long, and trying to make him fit, like Jillian said, into every conceivable story and not seeing anything work. It just, you know, and the worst offense was making him Paul and Nikki's kid. So I don't know. I mean, it's positive. It makes me hopeful that Sally and Kay are going in the right direction, and they have the power to make the changes that will restore this show back to what people want it to be.
Would anybody like to see Burton end up at another soap?
I can possibly see him over at B&B, but Steve needs to, you know, no, take the shirt off, because Brad's going to be like, "All right, let's hit it. Brad ain't going to do all them rain day games. I mean, where's Adam Gregory now? There you go." I could see him going head up against Dollar Bill over there. Maybe somehow he owns a rival fashion house, something. But, you know, or maybe, yeah, I could see him over there. He did star on Days.
Jamie, who would your wishful casting be?
I could see him returning to Days. He got a start there. He was involved in the teen story with Jennifer and Eve. He played a pervy high school boy who wanted to score with Eve Donovan. But the thing of it is, we all know, you know, he likes his characters wholesome these days. But, you know, that character, that character could come back, and, you know, he could have, like Jillian said, he could be a mogul now. I think Days is a little mogul heavy for a small town in the Midwest. I mean, that's one thing, and I'm liking Days. Adita Higley and Ryan Kwan, oh my God. I never thought I would. I was so prepared to be upset because, you know, Adina has not been one of my favorites. But I will say this. In this modern day of these soaps not knowing what they're doing, at least writers who know the history at least make them feel more like they're supposed to feel. I'm not saying Days is telling earth-shattering, you know, contemporary revolutionary stories, but the characters feel like they're supposed to feel. But what's ended up happening, because, you know, historically, days didn't always have all these moguls at the same time. They kind of, you know, the Demiras and the Kyriakises and everybody didn't always overlap until the last 10 years or so. So they're mogul heavy now with, with, you know, those two stories. But I wouldn't mind seeing him if they didn't want to use the character that he played all those years ago. Which Daze is very good about that. They're bringing back Valerie Grant as a new. I really wish they would have went with the original on that, but they're going with Melrose Place's Vanessa Williams. Well, so I'm gonna wait and see.
What?
I'm happy. Back to Steve Burton. Daze is doing a good job of taking characters from the past and bringing them back. So if Dina and Ryan came up with a fresh vision for who Harris is, and you know maybe he changed from being a bad. I mean, he went to school with Jennifer, so Lord knows Jennifer, you know, could use some loving. I mean, she's been crying about that baby and everything since Eric went to jail. So, I mean, if Harris comes back, you know, they could do Jennifer's high school reunion, you know, Jennifer and Eve's high school reunion. And I mean, of course, look, this wishful storytelling would happen in 2018, but I'm just saying Steve's very expensive though. So that might blow Daze's budget for the next 5 years to get him. But yeah, I could see that. I wouldn't mind him on Bold because I'm tired of seeing, you know, Catherine Kelly Lang and Heather Tom, you know, date the same two guys, you know, Torsten and Don. Torsten or Don. Don or Torsten. So, I mean, if they brought Steve Burton on, I mean, the thing of it is, Brad does not write for you consistently if you don't play a Spencer or a Forrester or a Logan, and Storm's dead. His heart is a beating in Katie's chest, so he couldn't play Storm. Maybe old man Spencer was hoeing around and had another bastard.
He could come back as Taylor's love interest.
No,
Taylor is not on the show.
I know. I'm just saying. Bring her back.
But I'm talking about getting Heather Tom a love interest. He could be her new cardiologist who helps her with, you know, keeping her bleeding heart going. Keep bleeding. But anyway, yeah, I can see Steve Burton on another show. The thing of it is, he's really expensive, and I don't feel that. I mean, people keep asking me, you know, the first thing when people leave, I get tweeted, do a wishful casting. I'm like, really? With four shows left and none of these shows really focusing on their core characters like they need to? I see precious little need for wishful castings unless it's a core character and they're going to restore the show to what made it popular. And Bold is pretty much the best at that. You know, love them or hate them, they're going to write for their core characters without fail. Maybe not the ones you want to see all the time, but I don't know. I mean, his family and his life is all in Nashville. I'm sure his bank account is pretty nice. I'd say start your own production company. And, you know, remember back in the day there was that Christian soap opera on TBN?
No.
Another Life.
Yes! Thank you, Mike. Thank you. This bump.
I don't know how.
Steve Burton, it actually was kind of...
And they all went to the grave and were touched by an angel by the time it was done.
No, it was, you know, that was during the time when, you know, all of the...
CBN was really hot. Pat Robertson was really hot.
Yes.
700 Club was really hot.
Why do you know so much about this, Mike?
I remember. It was a big thing for us.
How long did it run for? How many seasons?
It was on for 4 years, which, you know... The thing of it is, though, it was...
Christian soap. That sounds like an oxymoron.
No, it was... No, Roy Windsor, who created Search for Tomorrow, was one of the creators. It was a good little show. It was just chased.
Sounds like an oxymoron.
And this was... It premiered in 81 when soaps were at their peak, thanks to Luke and Laura. And the whole parent... Well, actually, it's not an oxymoron, because... the creator of soaps, Erna Phillips, created The Guiding Light based on a congregation because...
A Christian soap?
Guiding Light. Look it up. The history of Guiding Light. Well, then you go staged out at Cuckoo because it started as Phillips was grieving the loss of her baby and she found comfort in the congregation of a local preacher, which inspired her to write The Guiding Light, which was originally centered on a congregation at a soap. So the mother of all soaps was inspired by Christianity. Agnes Nixon also was inspired because all my children, the my is God. She says that in multiple interviews, so it's not that odd. So
it's still odd.
Michelle,
take me where? To church.
There is a whole market for uplifting. Yeah. And on Hallmark Channel, Jillian, look at all the Hallmark movies.
Well, Hallmark is the chase. But I'm just
scared. And they are making Chase money. And what I'm saying is, since he has those sensibilities, he needs to start Wholesome Soap Productions.
I don't mind. Okay, I'm not disputing him with that. I was talking about the Christian Network Chase.
It was a good show. They had all sorts. They dealt with adults.
I can't. Mm-mm.
It was a good little show. And it didn't last long. It lasted like 4 years, but he could totally look, I'm gonna tell you, half a daytime would quit to join it. If it was a good story, everything, I'm gonna tell you, Downton Abbey proved to me that everything don't have to be raunchy. In this modern day where there is something for everyone, I can get sex wherever I want it. Since he is not inclined, The last time the man did a love scene, they had to put dark curtains over Sharon's house. They had to turn off all the lights. So
they put the exterminator curtain, the exterminator blanket around the house.
You know, it was missionary position, and he was thinking about Jesus.
No hands.
You know, they talk about eating cat in the Bible. In the Song of Solomon, it's like, I want to eat from your fruits. What you think the fruit was? Anyway, so he needs to do Christian soap. I'ma tell you who would star in it with him. Scott Reeves, Missy Reeves, Jonathan Jackson. You know, and you know, they could create a good little Christian story. You know, do what you do best. It's a niche out there for everything. Tyler Perry has made a whole lot of money on black Christians, you know, with his church plays and stuff. Steve should put
people like, though. You know, ultimately it's about escapism and what you like. People love the Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas movies because they can curl up on the couch under a blanket and just watch romantic stuff. And that's what people like, the escapism. They don't care that it's predictable. They don't care that it's cheesy. They just like the warm, fuzzy feeling they get from it. That's all.
I'm saying that we're all going to watch them, but I'm saying he could marry his sensibilities with his connections in Hollywood and his tons of money that he made from soaps and Monavie and start churning out his own Nashville-based. Look, I'm sure there are great tax credits there. I'm just trying to help a brother out, you know, because everybody ain't going to fly you places, allegedly. We didn't do it.
Whatever. Oh, please. He said it in an interview.
The daytime world was sucked into the presidential campaign this weekend with the release of a hot mic video of Donald Trump talking about grabbing women's pussies and hitting on married women to Access Hollywood's Billy Bush. Trump was about to make a cameo on Days of Our Lives. Billy Bush and Access Hollywood were there to tape it. And Trump was going to be appearing opposite of Arianne Zucker, who is a daytime favorite. She's well-respected. She's a beast of an actress. Absolutely love her. But now, all of a sudden, she finds herself in the middle of this mess. Jillian, what do you think of Trump's comments, and what did you think of Arianne's response on social media?
I mean, my girl, Mashiro, said it best. Michelle Obama, she said it best at the debate. When they go low, we go high. And this is just the lowest thing you can hear. And for anybody that tries to come at me and say, oh, Bill Clinton, no. If he was running, fine. He is not running. His sins should not be his wife's sins. And that just makes you a sexist jackass for trying to put that on that woman. His sins are not hers, and vice versa. It's just disgusting. And Arianne took the high and classy road by letting Trump know what you did and what you said was disgusting without naming him. So kudos to her. And for anybody else who says, oh, it's locker room talk, that man ain't in no locker room. What game he playing? He ain't playing football. He's not a teenager. You're a grown-ass man with daughters. I bet you if somebody named Raheem said that about one of his girls, you would hear Donald Trump blow his top. So this is just food for thought.
Mike, are you shocked by Trump's comments, or is this just more of the same from Trump?
Well, it's not, you know, I'd like to say I'm not shocked by anything that comes out of his mouth, but I think the bigger thing has been the split among the people that support him, and how no matter what side you're on, you can always seem to rationalize an opinion. However, that said, yes, men do talk and men say horrible things all the time because that's what men do. However, this is something that if you ever did, you would be arrested and put into jail for. And if you ever did it in the workplace, you would be fired. So this is a situation where talk is not, it's dangerous in a sense that people that follow seem to find it acceptable. So bottom line is it's assault and it's not acceptable. And it comes down to whether you dislike one more than the other, it is really about who is you want running the show. And I wish that Ariane could have just been like Nicole Walker and taken that some bitch out. But she's not. She's real. And she did take the high road. And I'm glad that she was able to make a statement. And hopefully she will be able to just leave it at that and put it behind her. And good on her for that.
Jamie, one of the first things I thought when I saw the headlines, but before I actually had a chance to read the transcript, was Jeb Bush couldn't bring Trump down, Barbara Bush couldn't bring Trump down, George W. Bush couldn't bring Trump down, but it's going to be Cousin Billy of Access Hollywood that might put the final nail in Trump's coffin. What do you think of the video? What do you think of Billy Bush's involvement? And what do you think of Trump's comments?
Al Roker told me to tell y'all he had Billy Bush's number a month or so ago.
No.
And he was...
Billy what? Crystal had his number.
Oh,
Billy...
Who...
No, wait. Billy Crystal said decades ago that Billy Bush was the most annoying man in Hollywood.
Well, I didn't know of him decades ago. I didn't know of him until he started, you know, snirking around these entertainment shows. But when Al Roker went off on him, when Billy Bush was defending Ryan Lochte, going down there and causing an international incident in Brazil as basically boys being boys, you know, boys can be boys when they are boys with pink skin. That's all I'm going to say. Boys, you know, Donald Trump tried to destroy four black youths. Five black youths took out full page ads, you know, tried to have them basically hung on crimes that they did not commit, you know, yet he is on a hot mic bragging about how much he loves to assault women. Because let's just be real, talking about, I just can't help myself. When I see him, I have to kiss him. Really? I mean, look.
Could you imagine that tongue coming at your face?
Oh, shut up!
I have been in some really raunchy gay bars in my time, and you'd get an assault charge in there for just deciding to just go up and start palpitating people.
Yeah.
You know, but this is the thing, and I'm going to be real, it did not shock me, you know, at all. Shout out to J. Bernard Jones, who connected the daytime angle, because I was like, when I saw the picture, I didn't recognize Ariane, because it's been so long since she wore her hair like that. Nope. And I was like, who that? And they were like, that's Ariane. I'm like, what? You know, it's like 6 degrees of separation. But so I was immediately, you know, offended for her being a part of our soap world. But I was just like, Donald Trump has been pig vomit for a long time. This is nothing new. They knew he was pig vomit when they elected him. They wanted him because he was pig vomit. How many times have I heard or seen, I'm over this political correctness? You know what that translates to? Civility is not wanted. We want somebody who's going to tell it like it is. Well, that's who you have. You know, yes, Bill Clinton has had many of the same allegations lobbed against him, but maybe I want the fairy tale of the denial. You know, he did eventually admit with Monica Lewinsky after denying that was consensual. He has admitted to an affair with Jennifer Flowers. That was consensual. There are other women who have accused him of things that he has denied. It's not the same. If Bill Clinton was on a hot mic saying, oh boy, I tell you what, that Paula Jones came in there and I grabbed her by her, you know, Hillary would be having a really bad day today. But that's the thing about Trump. And I'll say this. Had Trump not, this whole election cycle, when he has been daring to fix his face, to talk about Bill Clinton's, because this is the thing, God don't like ugly. Hillary has not mentioned Trump's personal life at all. The only thing she's used against him is his poor business dealings and the things that he has said verbally himself. He has been threatening him and his weird looking children, that those two weird boys have been on, oh, my dad is showing so much restraint, Eric, you know, for not mentioning Bill Clinton's. And I'm like,
your daddy cheated on your mama, fool.
This might be new for the folks who didn't grow up with their big mamas who read the National Enquirer every week. But Trump's first wife caught him and his then soon to be second wife on a ski slope in Aspen. And y'all know I know where Aspen is, right? It's like, you know, give me a break. It's like, how do you fix your face when, you know, Marla Maples busted up your first marriage to even talk about what Bill Clinton has done? And Bill Clinton is a shameless hound dog. There is no denying. When Trump said, oh, Bill Clinton said worse to me on the golf course, I thought, of course he has. Sure he has. Bill Clinton is not running for president of the United States. Hillary is. You know, if I saw some people on Fox News, oh, this is nothing new. You know, Bush Sr. had a mistress and Jack Kennedy was a playboy in the White House. All true. Jack Kennedy's mistress sang a nasty birthday song to him. But it was not in the days of hot mics and social media takedowns. And Jack Kennedy wasn't trying to use Nixon's personal, you know, behaviors against him. Trump is like forgets his own lack of morality. Now, I'll say this overall. I have never needed for my president to be a family man. I think that is the biggest load of BS that this country tries to foster on people. I do not care if you are the biggest consensual, as long as it's all consensual and everybody's adults. That's my barometer. If you are a grown man and a grown woman and you just had a Roman-style orgy with consenting adults, but you can balance the budget and you can help my 401k get up and you can educate my chillens, I don't give a damn who you're screwing. I really don't. You can turn the Lincoln bedroom into a safe room. Y'all can be in there whipping and chaining. I don't care. So every time this comes up in these elections, what I hope this will do going forward, both sides should just stop. They should just stop.
It is absolutely ridiculous that Trump is using this. Between Giuliani, Trump, and Gingrich, they have 9 wives between them, and they are attacking Hillary Clinton, whose husband cheated on her and who stuck with her marriage. Those 3 men couldn't even stick with their marriages.
Well, to be a journalist, the reason that people come at Hillary is the allegations that she somehow, you know, tried to strong arm the, and I say to that, what wife is going to, you know, go there, you're saying my husband slept with. But, you know, Bill is not running for president this time. And if Bill can help Hillary, you know, create another surplus like Bill left in the White House the first time, I don't care, you know. But the thing, I do care about sexual assault. I don't care if he has mistresses, if she has whoever, I could care less. But you don't have a right to harass, assault, use the White House as your own virtual pimping machine, but anyone who thinks that Donald Trump wouldn't do the same is really living. And that's what got me with, like, with Republicans, because they, you know, try to promote themselves as the party of Jesus now, and we're the, you know, the Christian conservative. There is nothing. I will say that I truly believe, as much as George W. Bush, I am not a fan of what he did with this country, but I truly do believe that that man meant it when he said he prayed to God about what to do with this country, because it just felt unique. I don't think Donald Trump could tell you the difference between Noah and Moses. I don't think he knows. I don't think the last time he read the Bible, it was probably Ronald Reagan was in the office. Who cares about any of that, though? We need to just get away from that with our country and be like, we don't need you to be some moralistic Christian person if you can run the country. But taking it away from politics and taking it back to what we do here, which is daytime, I just want to say for Arianne, I loved her statement. You know, it was classy. She put it in the context. It shows that, you know, she's a better person than I would be, because I was telling Jillian, I'm like, if I was her, I'd be calling up Gloria Allred. I'd have me a book deal, and I'd be on Oprah's couch tonight with an exclusive interview, because that's how I am. I'd be like, oh, Donald, you going to use my name? But Arianne is too classy for that, and good on her, because like I said, you know, I also love the fact that everybody has pointed out, from Greg Rickard to Natalie Grodd to all of the very, you know, politically active soapers, that the daytime soaps have saved the planet. Jillian, what's her name, from The Biggest Loser, actually tweeted that phrase. Well, she actually said a guy with a hot mic just saved the planet. I mean, this is Donald Trump was going to destroy planet Earth. I'm just going to be real. If he gets in the White House...
Don't say that, Jamie. This election isn't over yet. The votes have not been cast. Something could still happen.
Well, yeah, you're right. Let me not say it like that. I don't believe he has a... I don't think he has a snowball's chance at this point. And I'm not a Hillary fan. This is, for me, I will say this. This is really a... One, I think, will destroy planet Earth. One, I think, is going to try to take all of my... If I do ever manage to build an entertainment empire, she's going to tax the hell out of me. So I'm not a big fan of either one of them, to be honest. But
I don't agree with Hillary on a lot of things, but in this election, in 2016, she is the only one who's qualified and is the only one who isn't going to get us into a world war.
She's competent insane. I mean... That is, it's sad that our political discourse has led us to a moment in history that what we basically have to choose from is someone who is corrupt, insane, and who will sell us to Russia and start a nuclear war, or someone who is also corrupt, but you know, because I'm just going to be real, you know, Hillary has a whole lot of stuff that she needs to, you know, I'm just like, whoever is her handler, whoever is her, look, I'm going to go for the world of scandal. Whoever is her Cyrus needs to be like, look at here, Hillary. Don't you try to set up no servers on your own. Don't you dare try to ask anybody. Look, don't you take a card from anybody talking about, well, in 4 years when I'm done, I can do a speech. No, don't you do nothing crooked, Hillary, because that's my thing. She could have coasted into the White House if she wouldn't do some of the silly shit she does. So she is definitely not blameless, but she's not crazy. She's competent, and she won't plunge us into a nuclear war. If Kim Jong-un says that Melania's dress is ugly, we're going to war. We are going to war with North freaking Korea. Nobody insults my Melania. I'll come over there and grab Kim Jong-un's pussy. I mean, it would be awful. We would be in World War III, and that's why I'm voting. I'm voting against World War III.
But kudos to Arianne.
And Soap Twitter. I was going to give a shout out to Soap Twitter for...
Soap Twitter is crunk. We just need to, yeah. I wish Soap Twitter could get the buzz and the love that Black Twitter gets, because Soap Twitter be crunk. And don't let Soap Twitter and Black Twitter team up. It's over.
Well, the funny thing is, on the last debate, CNN actually, I think, was looking for help with Kimberlyn Brown So they asked Soap Twitter. They're like, Soap Twitter, get us some information on.
No, because like one person from SEC, yeah, one journalist.
They know
like,
we're out there. They know we're out
there. No, because one journalist was like, is Soap Twitter? Soap Twitter needs some help. So some heifer was like, oh, they're asleep right now. LOL, chow. Soap Twitter pounced on her and was like, no, we not. Oh, I was like,
back
oh,
to
girl.
Soap World, though. I will say, I got two things to say to take it back to, again, what we do here. Days of Our Lives, I'm going to tell y'all what y'all need to do. You know this is almost perfect because there was a storyline where Nicole Walker was a political strategist for a while. Nicole has had almost as many jobs as Dylan McAvoy. But, you know, because what did she
Nicole
do now?
Jamaican.
I don't even know what Nicole is. But she... Shut up! See, Jillian is an islander, so don't nobody come for us.
People,
she can say that.
I wish but, you would. My people from Jamaica do, so we can do that.
But, so, no. But Nicole Walker...
What does that even mean?
You don't need to know.
Jamaicans stereotypically have a lot of jobs. Nicole Walker used to be a political strategist. Didn't she help EJ in the fight for mayor again?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Days, I'ma just be real. You know, I'm a shameless opportunist. I'm just gonna be real. That's part of who I am. So if I would be like, coming soon to Days of Our Lives, a hot new political story where Nicole goes back into the political arena. You know, you have Gary Busey come on as a sleazy real estate mogul who wants to run against Abe as mayor. I would totally, you know. Or let's just be real. This, and I've been wanting to say this for a while. I'm gonna be succinct with it. Luke, you know this because Luke has launched a new site and podcast within the Confidential Media family called Geek Confidential.
It's live.
So yes. So y'all know over there, at the, and I'm gonna be helping a little bit, but it's Luke's baby. But you know for a fact that.
But it's in beta mode.
Whatever that means. Is that like a VHS tape?
It's a soft launch. Beta's a soft launch.
I know, I'm just being silly. I'm being colorful, I'm Southern. But no, let's talk about the fact. The geek world knows that Hollywood has never met a franchise it doesn't want to reboot. Soaps don't get rebooted that much. We're getting Dynasty back. That's why I get mad at y'all soap fans. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to fuss at y'all. You know, they reboot Spider-Man every 2 years, but y'all get mad when they reboot Dynasty. The genre
Dynasty
will never come back if we don't try to support this stuff. Y'all make me sick. Somebody said we're doing a new Dynasty. Oh, Lord, why they doing a new Dynasty?
I don't blame them. I don't want it either.
No one's going to want to watch without Joan Collins making a cameo.
That's a bullshit-ass lie, and I'm going to tell you, I love Joan Collins, and unlike you, I watched all 8 years with her. But guess what, Luke? You can reboot stuff and don't actually have the real people anymore. They rebooted Mildred Pierce on HBO a few years ago, and it won a ton of awards. And guess what? I don't think Joan Crawford even did a CGI cameo. You don't have to always. They've rebooted Superman 55 times. Why can't you reboot a hot soap franchise? There needs to be more of that if the genre is ever going to be hot again. It's like, if we want soap operas to survive, we need to at least support it until it tanks. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, let the thing debut first before it's like, oh, God, this is gonna be horrible. It's like, well, do y'all want soaps to survive or not? Damn. Nope. But I want more of that. You know, it ticks me off. You know, because I'm not a big follower of comic books, but you have to admit, they'll reboot the hell out of one. They will take an obscure character from that wasn't even popular, and then they'll come up with Legends of Tomorrow. I'm sorry. Wonder Woman is an iconic female character, and they have rebooted her a lot. Erica Kane is an iconic character. She should live again, with or without Susan Lucci. I'm telling you, until people start looking at soaps that way, we're in danger. I said it years ago. I said it to powerful people in the industry. ABC Family, ABC was, they were idiots to license those properties. They were thinking short term. You licensed Erica fucking Kane to a band of clowns. You look at Pretty Little Lies and all those shows. You find a 15-year-old brunette girl who is a boss. She's out there. Look, we didn't know where Sarah Michelle Gellar was till she showed up. She's out there. You reboot All My Children. I'm not talking about the way everybody's always talking about, oh, let's bring them back, and then Erica and Jack will be 80, and I don't want that again. I'm going to be real. I don't want that. I don't want. I'm okay with Tad and Dixie and Erica and all of them from that version staying out there in the YouTube. I would love for them to do Pretty Little Liars is about to go off the air, reboot All My Children from its origin story, mix it up a little bit. This is how you do it. You set it in 2016 in Pine Valley, Pennsylvania. You find a hot new group of young people to play. 15-year-old Erica Kane, 15-year-old Phil Brent, 15-year-old Tara Martin, 16-year-old Jeff Martin, 15-year-old Chuck Tyler, and then this is how you do it to, I'm going to just merge it right so that you don't even have to worry about, you go ahead and make Jesse and Angie, even though they didn't debut until the 80s, go ahead and make them do their story at the same time so you have diversity. You know what I'm saying? You do that, and it's like 90210. You have all their parents on there. Instead of the Vietnam War protest, it can be whatever. You know, you can do Black Lives Matter with Jesse. You can do the current political. You know, not that Jesse. But, you know, but if you wanted to be cheeky, I'm going to be real. What I would do is I'd have Susan Lucci playing Phoebe. I'd have her be the, you know, the old rich.
Oh, my God. You want Susan to cuss somebody's ass?
No.
Susan could totally do it. Look at her at Devious Maids. That character, she could totally be Phoebe.
Yes. That's who Phoebe would be. You know, you get Susan Lucci to play Phoebe. You get, you know, Walt Willie ain't my favorite. But Walt Willie could be Chuck Tyler, you know. But the kids would all be new, you know. I wouldn't do Walt Willie. I'm sorry. Sorry, Walt.
Here's the thing. If we're going to have those other characters, I need Adam and Palmer.
They did!
Well, they could already be moguls in the town. There could already be Cortland Electronics. But they would be, you're right, Luke.
No, what I mean is I want to see a young Adam with whoever the next Jacob Young is in the role. Build the Adam versus Palmer rivalry with young men. That would be awesome.
Yeah, you know, you have... What's that guy that played Chuck Bass? He could be young Adam Chandler. I mean, that's what... You know, somebody... Look at those franchises and didn't think another continuation that, you know, soap fans are going to beg for, but then they're not going to watch and then they're going to be canceled. But if you think about it from a brand perspective, Peyton Place is another one that could easily be rebooted for one of those younger skewing. I mean, Peyton Place was a teen soap before teen soaps were hot. God in Light could be redone.
Another World with Rachel?
Yeah, not the end of God in Light with the bad memories. I'm talking about 1983-84 era Guiding Light. You take that storyline Zenith and you do the Josh, Reva, HB, Billy story with all new actors. You bring in Kim Zimmer to play Miss Martha, or, you know, yeah, Robert could be HB. Look at me. I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all need to call me. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. I cast Robert Newman as HB. Mm-hmm. And then Kim Zimmer would be his mama, or we'd make her Sarah, you know, Reva's mama. She should be Sarah. And then you get a young, you know, get some young, hot little trampy woman to play Reva.
You open the pilot with Reva in a red dress standing in a pool.
You do that whole, and then you get four people to play the Four Musketeers again. Have Kim Zimmer as one of the parents. You have Grant Alexander as one of the parents, you know. It's not that damn hard. And with these digital formats, you get it on Netflix, you sell it like crazy overseas, you know, there's a market for this that it could be done, but it's not being done. And, you know, it has to be done. So when I see a Dynasty being rebooted, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Let's do Paper Dolls next. You know, because the genre will go the way of the dodo bird if we don't have one, and it could work. MacGyver's working. Look, I thought that was the silliest hell.
MacGyver has terrible dialogue. It's terrible.
I don't give a damn. It's ratings. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Mike, what did you think of Bold and the Beautiful this week?
Well, I thought what started out with a really good storyline with Eric and Quinn, just as soon as he hit the floor, so went the story. I mean, you know, Eric made this blustering case for all this betrayal, and actually John McCook did a great job through that scene. But then he picked up those papers and he said, as soon as we sign these papers, we're going to be married. And I'm like, here we go. So unfortunately, it was Steffi that remembered that the papers were there. But yeah, it turned into something that had such a better vision for what I was hoping the direction of the story was going based on what I was watching. But it just took a U-turn for me, and it just fell into some craptastic stuff. So,
Jamie, how do you think the execution of your wishful storytelling from 6 or 9 months ago is going?
I don't know that that's the case.
Jamie's vision was much better.
No, I will say this, that I enjoyed, and I am enjoying, because I'm really wanting to focus more on the positive. Everybody cue laugh track. But I enjoy the story, and overall, I'll give it a B. Like Mike, okay. So, yeah, I think that Eric and Quinn are a breath of fresh air for that show. It's made Eric viable again. I've wondered for a long time why he was kind of pushed to the side. If I had to like do my own personal who could still get it among some of the older patriarchs in daytime, the Victor Newmans, the Jack Abbotts, the Eric Forster, I'm like, Eric Forster is a silver fox. Why he get pushed to the side, but Victor still getting young loving every time you turn around? Got that? But, you know, Eric is like, ooh, sit over here and just give my house away every 6 months. I'm going to give it to this son. I'm going to give it to this son. I'm like, where you going to stay? Why you keep giving your house away? I don't know anybody who keep giving their crib away. So I have enjoyed that Quinn was like, I'm going to throw this dust on him, and then he going to start doing what I say. So I've enjoyed the story, and it had legs, and like Mike, it took me right out of it when they did the whole unsigned marriage license thing. If this was the first time the Bold and Beautiful had ever done that, it would have still been a cool twist. If they did it 10 years ago and they did it again, I'd be like, oh, well, they're revisiting. But they've done this. This is like the, you know, Ridge and Brooke weren't really married because they didn't sign the paperwork. Hope and Liam weren't really married because that's lazy. That is fucking lazy. And if it was Dina Higley, we would rake her over the coals for it. You know, if it was Ron, there'd be people speaking out to the press and calling for, you know, but it's because, you know, I sometimes think because he's Brad Bell and he's a Bell, he gets a pass. And there's a lot of things that he should get a pass on because Bold is still beautiful. They focus on the core characters and all of that should always be applauded. I'm for real. But he cannot be applauded for shoddy, lazy storytelling anymore. This is lazy. Get your shit together, Brad. Focus on your show. You have been doing this for over 30 years. You started writing with your father at The Young and the Restless, and now you're writing Bold. You've been writing Bold for 30 years. Stop doing lazy stories. Stop coming up with the lazy cop-out plot twist. It takes people out of the damn drama. You didn't need that. It would have been just as compelling if he doubled over and then Quinn was in. Then the Foresters had to legally fight to see who's in charge. This is playing out right now with Rupert Murdoch. They're not doing any...
Rupert Murdoch?
Not Rupert Murdoch. Lord, I'm confusing my old...
Sumner Redstone.
Yes, Sumner Redstone.
You've got Lukeitis.
Right, where it's opposite today. No, Rupert made sure that won't happen with him because he has that trust that says that his kids with the other wife are in control of everything and the kids with Wendy are not. That's smart. That's the kind of stuff the Bold and the Beautiful used to do. You know, when Brooke lost control of the company, it was because of estate planning. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense that everyone in this wealthy family that has lawyers on retainer and that can get movers in 25 minutes, that they wouldn't file marriage licenses. Maybe once it would happen, but then it would spread throughout the family. Well, you know, Liam and Hope weren't really married because they forgot. Oh, well, I better make sure I'm going to get, you know, it wouldn't keep happening. And if it did keep happening, because this is the bane of my existence right now with U.S. soaps. If you're going to keep doing returns from the dead and silly things and unfiled marriage licenses, do it with your tongue in your cheek where, you know, have someone say, do those Foresters, have Dollar Bill say, do the Foresters know how to message over a marriage license or something? Because having to watch Steffi and Liam, oh my God! The marriage license isn't filed! Zoom in on Scott Clifton's face. I'm like, why y'all shocked about that? Don't none of y'all file your marriage licenses. This is not compelling television anymore. In the day of Netflix and binging, you have to compete with a lot of different serialized storytelling for your eyeballs. The Bold and the Beautiful has to smarten up. It's almost quaint in the fact that it's so old-fashioned with these soap opera stylings. And what I mean by that is all the other shows have kind of sped up the way that they do storytelling. Now, Bold will definitely do things now. I know this drives Mike crazy. They'll do things that you don't see on camera now a little bit more, but they're still doing that 1950s era. Well, you know, the audience, studies show the audience only tunes in 2 days a week. So we need to use dialogue to catch them up. You don't need to do that anymore, Brad. Let me just say this to all of daytime. We are now in a binging society. That was created in an era when housewives were, you know, cooking the curdled milk or curdling the milk to make buttermilk for bread and all that good junk. So it made sense that you had to catch up, you know, Kitten and Buffy, because she might have been in the laundry when, you know, Jeff and Penny ran off the ditch to the ditch. So you want to make sure, and there was no VCR. So, but let me explain this to y'all. Now, when your sister-in-law calls while you're watching The Bold and the Beautiful, you can pause. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to, or you can DVR. And you can binge the shows the same way that people do Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. Luke Cage, Netflix, every show on Netflix is created for bingers. Watch Netflix. When there's a new episode of Jessica Jones or Kimmy Schmidt, which is even serialized, or any of those shows, you don't see Kimmy Schmidt going, oh my God, sassy black gay man, last week when you and I went to the store and you bought that big old dildo, it was hilarious, wasn't it? Because they just trust that the audience watched last week when Kimmy Schmidt and sassy black gay man went and bought the big dildo. Bold is still doing this, I can't believe it, Liam, last week you and I went to that sex shop. I know. And then you bought that big dildo. I know. We don't need you to tell us what happened yesterday. And we sure as hell don't need you to then have Steffi flash back to the first time she uses the big dildo. Set on a beach to music. We don't need that anymore. Freshen that shit up. Stop doing all them flashbacks. Stop doing all these gimmicks and then having everybody react to the fact that there's a new gimmick that you've used 5 times in a row. That is lazy. Although, look, Lauren St. Victor should be like, shut up, Jamie, it's giving me screen time, because they dug up Carter. As fine as Lauren St. Victor is with that big strapping chocolate chest, y'all can't find nothing else for him to do but sabotage his character, sabotage his damn legal career for some white folks. I wanted somebody to say, no, Carter should be like, Ridge, your daddy, both your daddies are rich and left you a fashion dynasty. I'm not about to get disbarred for you white people and walk out. Because why is he going to be like that? I mean, we've joked that Carter's in love with Ridge. I need that to be the storyline, because that's the only way I'm going to sabotage my legal career to lie about a power of attorney for y'all. We ain't that good of friends. I don't understand that.
And I also don't like the dialogue that's written to make Ridge and Steffi and everybody in Eric's family so horrible that I have sympathy for Quinn, in a sense that I'm rooting for her and Wyatt to take them down. I need them to just write their characters and let me decide in that situation who I want to
be
the
victor. They're forcing. It's like
I don't
they're going to force you to feel sorry for Quinn. When that's,
yes, and
you
all
know,
the
yeah,
soaps
right.
do that. All the soaps
it's
do that.
Bad storytelling. Like, because the thing of it is, in truth,
Quinn
Steffi's,
is horrible.
Yes, Quinn Steffi horrible. Has a right to be this pissed off.
Yes.
But they're making it look like she's irrational. She The drama is always better when there is no villain, when it's two people in conflict, but they both really believe they're right in the story. The audience will decide who the villain is, but you can't let the person think that they're the villain. It's like Iris really believed she was saving her daddy from Rachel, the evil gold digger on another world. We thought she was the bitch, but you can't just... then just decide, like, let's just forget that Quinn was stabbing people with swords last year. Own it. Eric should be
pushing
like, yes,
somebody up. She pushed
Deacon
off a cliff.
You know, you can't then, you know, do this whole, it's better if it's like, yes, I know she stabbed that twit with a sword. I don't care because she put it on me, y'all.
Ah,
I mean,
no.
You know, it's
no.
like, come on.
Okay.
Like, they don't have to rely on these silly little gimmicks to, you know, and it's a waste of time because we don't need all that dialogue. You could be telling other stories, you know, because I am watching Emmerdale and they have a lot of cast members for that 30-minute show and they tell a lot of different stories and they don't have everybody in town regurgitating what's happening with just one story. Jillian.
Oh my God, why you say my name like that? Jamie.
No, I'm just going, cut to Jillian.
You know, they're gearing up for Eric to realize that Ridge is the selfish son of a bitch that he is by pulling these shenanigans. They really didn't have to. They should have had, you know, the papers are filed and they have Carter rush down there. I'm sorry, guys, it's filed. But then, you know, Ridge be like, oh, I have power of attorney. And then you find out that Quinn has it and they have this ugly fight or whatever. You know what I mean? But it seems as though they're gearing up for Steffi and Ridge to get their comeuppance, and it looks as though I would kind of like for Wyatt's eyes to be open, because hearing mm-hmm. him know this and not say anything, I want Wyatt's eyes to be open and be like, you call my mom a conniving bitch? What does that make you? And for him to just list off her sins, you want me to do this, you want me to do that, I've cut my mother off, I've done all of this to keep you happy, and you still won't act right, and you still won't be a
wife. Wyatt and Liam would have to cease being the most pathetic men in Southern California for that to happen. They would have to realize that there are other women. They would have to realize that they can set up Tinder profiles and find girls to date that aren't Foresters. That's what he's so desperate to keep this woman. I'm like, why are you that desperate? You're a good-looking guy. You know, obviously from the way Hope's eyes bugged out when she saw him showering naked, he's got a nice member. So why are you just sitting here like, ooh.
How about desperate cousin Koala going after Liam?
Oh,
my
that is
God.
The worst. You want to talk about, they just need to write that character off, because I'm going to be real. It is so offensive that she has changed her accent. She has changed her look to be, I mean, this is so pathetic.
Yeah.
What the heck? You know, I mean, she's an heiress. She's a jewelry designer. She's
beautiful.
This would
have been the best time for Ivy to be like, you know, I'm not doing all this shenanigans, for her to call Steffi out and say to them both, are you guys serious? You're fighting over this conniving bitch. She has you
she's
jumping
pathetic.
Through hoops.
This, who does
this
that?
Would have,
and
this would have been the perfect
Rick.
Time for yeah, well, Rick, this would have been the perfect time for Ivy to put Steffi's sins on blast. This would have been the perfect time for Rick to say, you know, I tried working with you, Ridge, but look at you. You wanted to be King Ridge. You're just like what
it
Dad said.
It makes no sense. We've watched Rick went so insane about his place in that company. Like, he did some really loopy stuff. Now he's just A-OK with his mom, you know, marrying Bill so that she can sell her shares to Ridge. Why the heck isn't Rick going, Mom, when you get those shares, give them to me. I deserve those shares. You created belief. You made this company millions of dollars. Ridge treated her child like dirt. why is she all of a sudden, I'm going to get this? And Brooke, Lord help, you know, I'm just giving up on Brooke ever caring about anything but a man, because that's not who Brad wants to write her as. The Brooke Logan that I fell in love with cared as much about power as she did penis. But now she's just like, okay, I'll marry whoever y'all need me to marry in order to get the shares back. Because Quinn is evil. What did Quinn ever do to you? Quinn, I mean, yeah, your daughter was kind of clumsy because of Quinn. But it's like, what? Quinn didn't do anything to Brooke. Why? And I'm like, okay, we're supposed to believe that Forrester is this billion-dollar fashion empire. 13% of it probably can net you a nice chunk of change. Why is she just all, I mean, so many of these stories are just so plot driven and everybody has been lobotomized to make them work. You know, kudos to John McCook, because he definitely deserves his Emmy for this. And Rena Sofer has been doing great. But everybody else is just, they're like automatons that are just being moved in whatever direction needs to be to
Rick
support.
Rick to see the opportunity in Quinn having the power of attorney.
Exactly. That's not, it would be so much juicier if he's like, Mom, when you get those shares, and, you know, do an old school soapy moment. Now, that's when I do want you to be cliche, when, you know, Paul Greer just like,
see
thank
that
you.
Quinn. He should
you
see
know,
that
no,
Quinn.
No, I'm just saying, she gets those shares, she gives them to Rick, and Rick teams up with Quinn, and Ridge is all just knowing, you know, thanks so much, Logan. Now, I can get the company. I can get Quinn out of the company. And they go to the board meeting, and he's all cocky. You're out, Quinn. And she's like, actually, you're out. Rick is going to be the new CEO, and I'm using my shares combined with him to make it happen. I mean, you know, and then if you really want to do a twist, you see how he's treated Thomas. Because really, truth be told, Eric shares plus Bill shares only give you 50%. Steffi and Steffi, her dad, and her brother have 50%. So that would just be a deadlock. But what if they had Quinn team up with Brooke and Rick, and then they bring Thomas to their side? Ridge treated Thomas like dirt, basically stole his child. Brooke is a freaking siren from the old Greek myths. 5 minutes alone with that boy. I don't want her to screw Thomas, but I want her to be like, you're the future of this company. You and my son working together. Rick isn't a designer. He's a businessman. His business prowess with your designs as the creative director. He'll be the CEO and you'll be the creative director. You can be in charge, Thomas, if you come over to our side. And then it's an actual full-on power play again, you know, where they actually care about Forrester Creations, not just when it suits. Steffi doesn't care. Steffi is the second largest shareholder after her grandfather, and she doesn't care until Quinn starts dating. No, we have to keep her out of. I'm like, you don't even show up for work anymore. You're all at, I don't know who I'm going to date. I don't know who I'm going to date. It's like, it's so repetitive and vapid, and Brad has to step it up. He has to step it up. And I'm not talking about 1 week of Wyatt talking about social media and Kim Kardashian. That's not going to satisfy. We want long-term, smart, compelling, sexy drama. You know, it's not enough to do these. I know you're going to have Liam. I know you're going to come back to me, Steffi. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares who she goes with? Who cares?
Mike, what'd you think of General Hospital this week?
Well, the only thing that I've really kind of enjoyed is watching Morgan's meltdown, which oddly this time seems different to me, because the first time it happened, Morgan just really didn't know what was going on. Now he's got some, like, now that you know that Ava screwed with his medications and you're watching him unravel and he's trying to keep it in control and he can't, I've kind of enjoyed that. And Friday's cliffhanger was good. So I don't know. Like, most of the stuff I would have to say I'm not really enjoying on General Hospital. It's just a lot of mishmash of all these kinds of things that are going on, and I'm not really sure where the stories are. So... But, you know, kudos to Richard Berge. I hope I said your name right. You did a great job as Paul, and I'm sorry to see you go, because it's not a bad thing to have a dirty DAA in Port Charles.
Jamie, General Hospital is really boring, and the cast is almost unrecognizable. What did you think this week?
I'm trying to be more measured in my reactions. I know it doesn't sound like that after that Bold and the Beautiful one, but that Bold and the Beautiful one has been building for a while, because I do feel we cut Brad too much slack sometime. So now I'm just going to try to be more even keeled all the time. But as for GH, I feel like, dang, I was just praising y'all. It's
Hypocrite
like,
City.
It was just... It was just yesterday that we had the fun Cassadine Island adventure, and Ava and Nicholas and Laura was screaming as only Jeannie Francis can. And now I'm looking at this show. I don't care about Claudette. Mm-mm. I'm so tired of Frank Valentini going to parties and casting this show. I'm so tired. It's not What About Your Friends. You are not TLC. You are not T-Boz Left Eye and Chili. You need to stop, Frank, trying to bring on all your friends and then be like, do something with them, Gene and Shelly. You know, it's like, stop. No one cares about Claudette. I'm a whisper, so I don't yell. No one cares about Claudette. No one cares about that boring preacher doctor man. You a preacher or you a doctor? Pick a team.
Pick one and put him in a viable triangle or a romance, because I like him. I really, really like him. I just don't think they're using him right.
I'm going to tell you, pick a viable car from Knott's Landing Motors and drive him off a cliff, and he can take Claudette and her baby with him. I don't care about these people. I'm coming for GH next. We got Y&R together. We done prayed the devils out at Y&R. GH, you're next. Frank, don't shape up. I'm just going to say this right damn now. If they don't shape up, I'm going to call for Wendy Rich. I'm going to do like I did in the old days with the vote for your remote. I ain't going to say vote for your remote, but I'm going to bring down thunder and hell to get Wendy Rich back at this show, because I'm tired of the inconsistent storytelling. I shouldn't love a show 1 month and then be like, what am I watching the next? I don't care. I love Michelle Stafford as a performer, but I don't care about Claudette, Nathan, that baby, whether Nina raises that baby. I don't care about anybody in that storyline. Maxie is the core character, and she is supporting all of these new people. I do not care about any of them. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Who cares about these people? I liked Nathan back when he was Maxie's cute boyfriend. I don't care about what happened to him before he showed up in Port Charles and took off his shirt. He is not that compelling for me to care about his backstory. I don't care. I care about Elizabeth, and I care about Greenlee, actually. You know, I like their Hayden. I like their story. That is core characters. I do believe that Jeff Weber could have been a hound dog. But here's what I need. I need a Jeff Weber on the show. Right. You can't tell this story without Jeff and Liz's mama, because, betrayal. We don't even know Liz's mama. That is not Gene and Shelley's fault. That has almost been a running joke at this point that we never have seen Liz's mama. It's time to bring on Jeff Weber and Liz's mama. I don't think that Richard Dean Anderson is going to do it. You know, I would love to see Justin Dees and Margaret Conlon come on in a guest star role. They were super huge on As the World Turns. Margaret Conlon is, you know, the epitome of classy stars, in my opinion.
And she looks like she could go for, yes, she has the same look as Liz's mother.
And I'm not saying we have to do a long-term story. Just bring them on, play the story. How could you do this, Dad? You were supposed to be over there with Doctors Without Borders, and you was hunching Without Borders. You know, play it out, have a really good, strong story, and then they go back to Doctors Without Borders. Or they stay on to help rebuild General Hospital, because I think, you know, they need a, you know, I think Justin Dees would be great. And think about Justin Dees. First of all, look, I'm being, you know, I'm strategic, because you know I loved Keith and Gina on Santa Barbara, so I would love to see Justin Dees and Robin Mattson in story again. But you know, Monica, you know, people were like, he's too old. I'm like, Jeff and Monica were part of the Young Doctors in Love program or whatever at General Hospital. So he is essentially Monica's age. You know, there's so much history there. I mean, and they never really dealt with it. It's like, hello, Jason's mama, even though she's only his play mama, but Jason's mama was married to Liz's dad. You know, now they're all adults with kids of their own. I mean, and I'm going to be honest, kill Audrey. That could be the story that is the catalyst of all of it. You know, they're not bringing Rachel Ames back. You get a lot of mileage out of a soap opera when you kill a veteran character. Now, I would never say kill a veteran character when the actor is still on the show. You know, don't ever kill Victor Kiriakis or Victor Newman or Nikki or Monica while the actors are still viable and wanting to act. But since Rachel Ames has retired, it would be totally plausible for, you know, Liz to be like, I got to go pick up the boys because Graham, because, you know, she still got Graham babysitting at 90. And I'm like, CPS gonna get you, Liz. You know you my girl. But you know Cameron is over there huffing glue or something. that woman can't watch them kids at 90 damn years old. And so Liz gets a call. You got to come over. Something's wrong with Grandma. And then you bring back Sarah, and Sarah just brains that. You know, bring Sarah on and make her a bitch. I vision Sarah coming. I love Allison Sweeney. You left your kids with Grandma? You weren't taking care of your kids? And blah. And then she, you know, think about it. Rebecca Budig, Rebecca Herbst, and Allison Sweeney, or someone with that caliber as sisters. And her. And then this is the thing. Have Sarah have a past with Hamilton Finn. Since Hamilton Finn is getting ready to hunch on Hayden, bring Sarah on. This is one time when I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't even mind something cheeky. Have Rebecca Budig do a dual role. Let her be Sarah and nobody just, Liz will be like, I never knew, noticed the let her do a dual role. Half sisters who look just alike. Didn't Julianne Moore play them? They had half sisters look alike on World Princess.
So, but they never knew each other.
I know. That would be, look, you bring on Rebecca Budig with a blonde wig as Sarah. And then she plays a dual role. Half sisters who hate each other with Rebecca Herbst in the middle. That's what I want to see. Come on. You're building on it. I'm going to tell you how to fix Jordan. Reveal that Bradley Ward hunched Jordan's mama and Jordan Ashford and TJ Ashford are therefore quartermains. Then I give a damn more. You know, that would be, look, if you're a cop struggling to pay your bills.
On more, so.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, go ahead and tie, you know, these are characters who are actually popular, unlike Dylan was on Y&R. And that wouldn't be that much of a stretch. Bradley Ward was like a civil rights person or whatever. She's a cop. What if her mom was a legal aide who worked for Bradley Ward? And we find out, lo and behold, there's another quartermain, and it's top cop Jordan Ashford. Then she's a ward and a quartermain. Then I care more. You get rid of Curtis and Andre, and you bring back Tommy Hardy. You cast a sexy man as Liz, because if we kill off Audrey, you bring back Sarah for it. You bring back Jeff. You bring on Jeff's wife. That would also bring, you know, Tom and Tommy. Look, for Tom, all I'm saying is bring back Matt Ashford. You can do a one-off. You know, I'm not saying we need Tom on the show, but he can come back for the funeral. Tom Hardy's back, but Tommy sticks around. You know, and you can even do something cute with Jordan. My last husband was named Tommy. Oh, really? You know, and you get somebody sexy like Rahsaan Orange, who used to play Tech on Days of Our Lives, as Tommy Hardy. You know, Tommy grew up with Maxie. And bring on people we care about. Stop bringing on these Claudettes and these people. It's like, it's so goddamn infuriating. Because
Like how they linked Claudette to Valentine? I'm like, what?
No,
the
who no. cares?
It's I was like, what the fuck,
who
yo?
Who cares? People want, the fans of this show have a list of the people
this
they
want.
This
is lazy storytelling. Let me just lump them all together to write a story.
I understand that you... Here's how I feel about it. I don't feel you have to do what the fans say all the time. I do not believe that. Because, you know, if that's the case, you know, half the people who died on Game of Thrones wouldn't have died. Because I wouldn't have been like, no, don't kill so-and-so. But, you know, all the little boy, little Tommy didn't have to jump out to win. But if your show is super compelling, you should be left to your own devices. If it's not, you need to do what the core long-term fans are suggesting. But every time, no, I'm not going to do what y'all want and bring on Bree Williamson as someone like Serena or someone y'all care about. I'm going to create Claudette. No one gives a fuck about Claudette. They care about Serena Baldwin. They care about Serena Baldwin. Do you know how hot it would be? This is so basic. This could be a soap opera game by Mattel, what they could do at GH. I'm not talking about something complicated. Scotty Baldwin cannot stand Sonny Corinthos. It's too late now because Morgan will go with God. But imagine these last couple of years when we've had Morgan and Michael going back and forth with Kiki, who don't nobody give a damn about. Imagine if they had been going back and forth over Serena Baldwin, Scotty's daughter. Of Scotty Baldwin in a triangle with the grandsons of Bobby Spencer. All that history, Scotty being the DA at the time, Sonny being the town's mob boss who hooked his first child on pills, and then having to think about Morgan and Michael sticking their slimy Corinthos penises near his beloved Serena, it would have been soap opera gold. Instead, we get broke Kiki and broke whatever her name is spreading the clap through Port Charles, New York. Who cares? Get your shit together.
And Scott is written as a clown. He's almost like a caricature.
And Frank has no vision for this show. It's apparent that, you know, say what people will, when he had Ron to have a vision for the show was better. The show is rudderless now. It's rudderless. No one cares about half of these younger characters. They don't write for Molly and Christina. Fans love those characters. The poor fans who managed to become fans of Parker and Christina, they tweet me every day. And I'm like, they're doing MVID set to Phil Collins songs. And I'm like, I just don't see what inspires all that. Yeah, it was kind of intriguing, but they played it 5 times and we ain't seen them no more. Give the fans what they want. Hell, I'm looking at the show just grasping for a storyline. I'm like, Michael and Felix both grieving over Brina. Maybe Michael should get some booty from Felix. I mean, you know, I'm just looking for something with people I find interesting. We never see Lucas and Brad. They shutting down the hospital talking about somebody want to bring in condos. That's the dumbest mess in the world. Isn't this like, I know there's Mercy still, but this is the major hospital in a town. You know, they're not going to...
It's called General Hospital.
That's stupid. You know, I mean, that's just a dumb storyline. Why not have a flesh-eating bacteria scare at the hospital and that causes some issues, or something that's happening in the real world, Zika virus, all these medical-related, the EpiPen thing. ELQ could be creating, you know, Tracy could be, you know, make Tracy like Edward used to be and like Tracy used to be. Make her crooked. You know, make her create some new HIV drug. See, this is what Agnes Nixon would have done, but people are so chicken shit these days. It's like, let there be some revolutionary new HIV drug. Hell, it could just be PrEP. And then have Tracy manufacturing a version of PrEP and drive the prices sky high. And then Monica be like, you can't do this, Tracy. I'm going to kick you out of my house.
Like that guy did that was reviled by everybody.
There are all of these stories in real life that are happening. The EpiPen story, the HIV drugs guy, you know, the smarmy. You know, he was like a smarmy hedge fund guy. That's what Tracy's role used to be on the show. Remember when we learned there were black Quatermains? Tracy was unapologetically like, hell no. You know, I'm black. I love that because we all know that there are Tracy's.
Because they kept
it
real. They didn't try to sugarcoat it and make it kumbaya.
Pumping
Tracy
you,
was like, ugh, my daddy did what? Were we?
Yes! Yeah. Like Julia, like my favorite character on Designing Women is Suzanne Sugarbaker, because she was the ridiculous racist idiot, because we know people like that. Julia was perfectly liberal and always said the right thing, but Suzanne was the one who was going to show up in blackface at the Supremes thing and be like, that's who Tracy used to be. I was so embarrassed for Jane Carey from Guiding Light, Elliot, when she had to sit there and pantomime during that Paul.
I didn't story. Mind that.
That was the worst, though, Jillian. I'm sorry. That was so...
No, I didn't mind that because I thought Jade Elliott was like, y'all ain't coming for me. She was like, Like, Tracy was a hustler. Like, to me, that part showed that Tracy was a hustler. We all know Tracy could talk you out of your money. She could talk the drawers off of you for beans money. But she was just like, I didn't buy that. You
on her survivability. But I'm just going to say, those scenes were something out of Passions. I was waiting for Timmy to ride by on a shark. You know, stop! Okay, and here's my thing. Okay, you know, after they get Tracy away from Paul and Anna got the gun on him, it's like, stop, you better not try to stick Dylan. Dylan is 3 feet away from him. If that man can stick Dylan, Dylan is a punk. Because I just would have ran out the room. I would have been like, oh, Anna, you a cop, you got a gun, you got it handled. Bye, girl. I'm like, there's no jeopardy once Tracy got away. But they still made it like, don't move. Don't you do. Whoa. And then he tried to jig his own neck with that damn needle. Oh, I'm going to do this for my daughter who ain't never been on the show since she was a little girl. The last time she was on the show, I'm going to do this for this woman who y'all, the audience. It's like, okay. This is where you have to tell a story that also informs your current audience and your new audience. It does no good to deal with history if you don't bring the person on. If I'm a newer viewer, I'm wondering, why is this really sexy DA man acting a fool and killing up people and strangling Hispanic nurses and stuff for this woman we ain't never seen on camera? I don't know why I would care about that. And if I'm a long-term viewer, you know the old rule in soaps is when they start mentioning off the school, you know, which GH, let me tell you, you can't go by that no more. It used to be when you were watching the soaps and they hadn't mentioned a certain Horton for a long time and then they said something like, I got a letter from Mike today from Africa. You could set your watch. Mike was coming back.
That's so
GH
true.
Would trick you like that. You can't do that with GH no more. As soon as they said Susan, I'm like, ooh, they bringing on Susan. Paul's daughter. Ooh, but Bree Williams are coming. Maybe she gonna be Susan. Nope, she Claudette. Ooh, they're casting this other girl. Maybe it's Susan. Nope, she gonna give everybody the clap. Ooh, maybe now they bringing on Susan. Nope, they bringing on a daughter for Claudette. What God, dog, and why you keep mentioning Susan is what
it's
I want
to damn. Frank is
she was on. She
them.
Was under five in the hospital room.
It's almost
I don't
as
give
if
a
Frank.
That ain't no story.
It's almost as if Frank is trying to build a new family. It's like he's trying to rebuild the show with people we don't care about.
He's trying to tweet. Is what he no? He trying to tweet. No, on One Life they brought on core characters.
Yeah,
you know they.
Oh, I think Sonny and Carly are going to be the center of the show.
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Mike, where can they find you?
At MPJ24.
Jamie?
Throwing shade at Jamie_Gittins.
Jillian, where can they find you?
In New York. How about that?
As always, you can find me at twitter.com/Luke_Kerr. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.